Hello, hello, hello. This is Cortina Jackson, and you are listening to What's on Cortina Jackson's Mind. I'll tell you what's on my mind tonight. Today is December the 30th, 2018. I'm so excited, you guys, because as I look back over 2018, I'm so thankful of all the blessings that I've received. I'm just thankful that I have a voice tonight. I'm able to speak to you. I do come from domestic violence, and there was a time that I didn't have a voice. I didn't feel like I had a voice at home. And so to be able to speak and make these recordings now is just the ultimate blessing. It's very therapeutic for me. And so I'm thankful that you're listening to me and giving me the authority that I once lost. As I go into 2019, I know people have their resolutions and things that they're looking to do, as always at the beginning of the year, but I think I would like to do more acting. I got an opportunity to do a little bit of acting a couple of months ago. The movie will come out. It's called Beneath the Scar. So you'll have to do a Where's Waldo search and find me in that movie. It'll be coming out March 2019, Beneath the Scar by Dr. Sheila Brown. Very excited about that. And so I'm looking forward to more acting opportunities. I am on the radio. I'm on Sirius XM Radio, channel 167 on Thursday nights from 6 to 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. You guys, what a blessing to have that opportunity to come into my life. And I think I'm going in also to 2019 wanting to write my third novel. So these are the things that I'm working on. And, you know, whatever happened in 2019, good or bad in your lives, take it as a springboard, take it as a platform, and let it catapult you into your 2019 to start building from there, making some choices. If your choices weren't always great, if the things in your life didn't always work out, it is never too late. As long as you're breathing, as long as you have an opportunity, take your energy, take your source, and change the course of your life. Bring more positive things into your life. I'm on a positivity diet, you guys. Nothing negative in my life. And as we diet, we don't let in junk food. So I always say, don't bring me any junk food. I'm on a positivity diet. I don't want anything negative coming into my life. Tonight, I bring you chapter 2 of my novel, On Earth as It Is in Hell. As we dive a little bit more into this, I'm probably going to bring you about another chapter or two, as I really want to pique your interest in this book. So I hope you'll stick with me. I hope you'll read along. You can find it at www.cortinajackson.com. And again, I just want to thank you for being here and thank you for listening. Give me some feedback if you get a chance. Follow me on Facebook and all my social media. I'm so excited. Now let's get started and dive into this chapter 2, On Earth as It Is in Hell. Tony was gorgeous as a woman. He was gorgeous as a person, filled with sunshine all of the time. Tony had his share of problems, though. He was searching for something in his life. He just didn't know where to find it. For as long as he could remember, Tony was gay. He felt that he was born in the wrong body. God made a mistake when he broke the mold with me, he would often say. He knew God. He knew him well. Tony grew up with Christian parents. They were fanatics and attended church regularly. Tony's dad was instrumental in building the church from the ground up. The church started out with just 20 faithful few, but with hard work, blood, sweat, and tears, the congregation grew exponentially. Anthony's parents were important, and therefore, he was important too. Everyone's eyes were on him. He was a good-looking kid, and Every mother pushed their daughters to be in his presence. He could never tell his family his secret. His father was from the old school. "The Bible speaks against homosexuality," his father told him when he ran across a homosexual male that tried to join the choir. He ran the poor guy off, not only from the church, but also from the choir, and made such an uproar of the situation that Tony feared telling him of his own battle. His father and mother were hypocrites in his eyes. They preached love and acceptance, but outwardly expressed their contempt for homosexuals while at home. So Tony suffered in silence while dating some of the most beautiful girls that the city had to offer. He even had sex with some of them, which was also a big no-no in the Parks family. He felt that he had something to prove, maybe to convince himself that he wasn't really gay. However, the more he did it, the more disgusting it was to him. He grew very depressed trying to be a people pleaser. He wanted to live for God, but he viewed his lifestyle as sinful and undeserving of heaven. He tried to fight his fleshly urges, but his eyes were set on the son of his father's best friend in the congregation. They were sent out to play together all of the time and grew up together as teens and also grew an infatuation for each other. One day, the infatuation grew into a burning desire, and they found themselves in a situation that Tony could only describe as magical. It was the most complete feeling that he had ever felt sexually, and he knew that this was right for him. His father walked in on them. It was a horrific scene of mayhem and complete chaos. Anthony's father didn't know who to grab first. He was filled with such rage and anger that he began to tear his own clothes. Then he tore the entire room apart. He broke windows, books were thrown, and pictures were smashed onto the floor. Then he grabbed Anthony, looked him straight in the eyes, and with piercing eyes of black coal that burned deep into Anthony's soul, he said with a scowl, "You're going to hell." Anthony's body went limp as his father threw him across the room and then ran over to him to finish delivering blows to Anthony's already bloody face. He was cut short, however, by a pain that gripped his chest and squeezed until he was sure that his heart would explode. It stopped him right in his tracks, and he fell dead of a heart attack. His mother lost a husband and son that day. She never spoke to Anthony again. He ended up homeless and eventually here at this seedy apartment that he was lucky to get through his earnings at the club that he danced at most nights. The guilt that he felt from that day stayed with him, and he really wanted to straighten his life up and return to church. Clara bumped into Anthony as she strolled to her apartment door. "What man has you strolling in at 2 o'clock in the morning, girl?" Clara didn't answer. She didn't want to hear it. She pushed hard on her door that always seemed to stick at the most inopportune times. She was tired of spending her Thursday nights the same way, in the arms of a man that provided false hopes of love. She didn't need anyone reminding her of her inadequacies. She finally pushed through the door with a thrust that caused her to just about to pour into the room. She stumbled into her apartment that seemed to close in around her every time she came home. She slammed her door shut and locked it as she turned on her light to reveal her humble abode. It was smothering. A full-size mattress in a space that had to accommodate a stove, a tiny bathroom, and a 19-inch TV that she sat on top of a plastic egg tray, which she found behind a nearby mom-and-pop grocery store. Everything was within a couple of steps from each other. The sink always dripped with a rhythm that was sure to elicit torture on anyone. Then there was no central heater air. So she had an old swamp cooler sticking through the window that electrocuted her every time she switched it on during the blazing summer months. In the winter, she had a tiny space heater with coils that turned fire red and felt so good when she sat 2 inches from it, which in this crowded space was never a problem. Claire found herself staring at those coils most nights, wishing for better days. She saw no real future for herself, but she liked to imagine what it would be like if she did have a bright future. She dove onto her bed, closed her eyes, and imagined herself now in an immaculate kitchen with dark granite countertops and wood floors, stainless steel appliances, and big, beautiful green trees that resembled a Thomas Kincaid portrait as she looked out of her kitchen window. She imagined herself adjusting tulips in a vase, running her fingers through her beautiful thick hair and pulling out a pan of freshly baked chocolate chip cookies, just in time to hear the key pushing into the lock of her front door and her drop-dead gorgeous husband announcing, "Honey, I'm home." She envisioned him walking up to her as she would stand there looking perfect and innocent, while playfully biting on her index finger. He would push the cookies to one side and pick her up, walking her to the bedroom, the bed already covered in rose petals. He would proceed to rip her apron off, revealing naked, clean-shaven, soft, and supple flesh. She would feel his warm breath on her neck as he whispered in her ear, "Honey, can I come in? Honey, can I come in? Ooh, that sounds sexy," Clara thought. And there was the sexy voice again saying, "Honey, can I come in?" "Wow, this vision seems so real," Clara said with a smile. "Honey, would you stop playing with yourself in there and let me in?" Clara sat straight up, realizing that it was back to life, back to reality. She was not rich. She did not have a drop-dead gorgeous husband whispering sweet nothings into her ear, and there was a homosexual man standing at her door antagonizing her. She sighed in disappointment as she stood up, took 2 steps, and started unlocking the many varieties of locks that secured her door. She laughed to herself as she thought, "What am I protecting?" Tony waltzed in and playfully danced by Clara as he threw himself across her bed. "When are you going to stop being self-destructive, giving your body to these men who mean you no good?" Tony exclaimed. Claire responded with a defiant, "Talk about the pot calling the kettle black." She became more serious now. "I've been seeing this guy, and I think we are definitely getting serious. So serious that he is scared. He just needs to get everything straightened out so that we can be happy together. He has to get rid of his annoying little wife. He's scared, that's all." Claire sighed to herself. Who was she kidding? She needed this man to create stability for her. At least he was there consistently and regularly with promises that one day she wouldn't have to sleep with anyone for money. She met him only 6 months earlier. He traveled a lot as some type of businessman. At least that's what he told Clara. He frequented a nearby hotel that was in a nice strip, which tourists would seek out and enjoy for their weekend getaway. It was weird that only a few steps away from the main strip was an area that almost resembled a third world country. It certainly was the type of place that locals knew not to accidentally get lost in. Clara ran into him one day as he was leaving his hotel. He was young and good looking, and he seemed to be different from other guys. He didn't look at her like he wanted to dry hump her like most guys. He smiled, and he looked at her lovingly, and his eyes were kind. He invited her to dinner in his room. It was so romantic. He removed her shoes and massaged her feet, rubbing them with oil. And he removed her clothes so delicately and made incredible love to her in a way that she had never felt before. She was instantly hooked and fell deeply in love with him. She didn't realize that she was in love with the idea of being in love, and she was blind to the fact that he was just using her for sex. Eventually, the lovemaking just turned into hardcore sex. It didn't matter to Claire. It was like getting high for the first time and enjoying that feeling so much that a person would chase that high forever, trying to find that same feeling again. Chasing the dragon, some people call it. Claire was definitely chasing the dragon, because even after she found out that he was married, she pursued him anyway. However, she quickly realized that the thrill of their first time was fading with each sexual encounter. No wonder he never took her out to eat, and he never really wanted to be seen with her in public. And no wonder she only saw him on Thursdays. She didn't care. She just really wanted to make love to him again and feel the love that she was sure both of them shared. Even with her thick skin, she felt that everyone deserved to be loved by someone. She figured that once the wife was out of the way, he would relax again and give her the love she desired. Tony empathized with her need for love. He only wished his mom would talk to him again. He knew that he could get sex anytime he wanted it, but he wanted acceptance, and he longed to feel it from his mother so that maybe he would heal from the hole that was left from his father. He went to different churches, and instead of welcoming him, they condemned him. They did not show love. He desired acceptance. He desired real love, but he could not find it. There was one church, however, that seemed to have what he was looking for. There was a new pastor that moved into the area recently, and he established himself quite well. He was charismatic, fun, and accepting, and not to mention that he was very good looking. He never talked bad about anyone. He never seemed judgmental, and there was something different about this pastor. He was quite popular with the members of the church, and he had a supportive and beautiful first lady at his side. Countless men and women were saved and came to Jesus under his anointing and power. He did a lot of community projects that kept him busy. Anthony was pleased going to this church. It gave him a sense of well-being. It was a warm feeling about this church that made him comfortable. He didn't care if the pastor was a bit of a ladies' man, as long as he didn't crucify him the way other pastors had done in the past. Clara, I've been going to church, Tony announced as he looked into Claire's eyes, waiting for a smirk or a hint of sarcasm. He hesitated, speaking further, just waiting to hear a disapproving response. Do you think homosexuals go to heaven? He didn't wait for a response to a seemingly rhetorical question. I've done some things that would be too much for even the good Lord to forgive. He said this as if he was trying to talk himself out of his decision to seek absolution for his wrongdoings. I started going to a church a few months back, and the pastor's really down to earth and approachable, and right now I need that. I'm so tired of fake people. You know what I mean? Now, I may not be that great of a person, but at least I'm trying. Anyway, he continued, I want you to come with me, Clara, to church. He knew how Clara felt about this, but desperately carried on. I think you would like it, and they even feed you. And you can't afford to be missing no meals, girl, he said with a playful slap to her rear end. Clara thought about it, but she didn't want to give her life to God totally again. Besides, she felt God had let her down one too many times in life. She watched pastors on television, but she even stopped her commitment with that because it reminded her of how her grandmother would sit in her lazy boy recliner with her bottle of blessed oil, a glass of ice water, a Bible, and her tiny pocketbook filled with the little bit of money she received monthly from her Social Security check. She would sit listening intently as the television evangelist proclaimed that God was showing me someone in TV land that was praying for their children to be saved. Amen, that's me, Lord, Claire could still hear her grandmother say. If that's you, reach down deep and bring out the biggest seed faith offering that you can give And don't forget to order your bottle of holy juice from the berries from the tree that was planted near the river where Jesus walked. What a hoax, Clara thought. Who would actually give money to this con artist? And it was at that moment Clara's grandmother would reach for that pocketbook and pull out all her money that was contained inside, put it in an envelope, and have Clara send it. But we see how that worked out, Grandma. Clara was disgusted with everything and everyone. She hated preachers. She hated men. She hated women who were scandalous and hateful. And most of all, she hated herself. No, I don't think I'm ready to hear another fake message on prosperity, blessings, or how great God is, Clara finally commented. But I am ready for a drink. She pulled two plastic cups that didn't match from her cabinet. She poured both cups to just about the top with gin and topped it off with orange juice. Want a little juice with your gin? Tony said sarcastically. I want to get drunk. Gin makes you sin, so here's to sin. They raised their cups and down at least three or four after that. They lost count. In the course of their drinking, they ended up laughing together, crying together, revealing secrets, and eventually passing out, sharing space on the full-size mattress. The next morning, Clara awakened to the sounds that she grew accustomed to. Car horns, squealing brakes, arguments that were never resolved, and the sound of crying babies that seemed to seep through her paper-thin walls. She felt groggy as she stood up, nearly tripping over the empty bottle of gin that rolled into her path as she stumbled her way to the bathroom. Gin certainly didn't make the pain go away. Although the day was brand new, her problems weren't. And she realized that an uncertain future was the scariest reality that existed. She walked out the bathroom and realized that Tony was gone already. So she immediately looked at the door, wondering how it was secured after he left. Just as she was about to start cursing out a person that was not there, Tony walked through the door, smile first. He had two cups of coffee and a couple of donuts in a paper bag that was tucked under his arm. His smile was apologetic as he looked into the eyes of his furious friend. I was only gone for a few minutes, he said. Now drink this coffee and thank me later. We have enough gin in us to spontaneously combust. Clara couldn't stay mad at him for long. Tony was good for that. She grabbed the coffee from him, pretending to be mad, and drank it down, hoping the queasiness would subside with each swallow. Slow down, girl. Do you do everything fast? Tony said, as he sat his coffee and donuts on the tiny space by the sink. Not everything. Clara finally smiled, looking at Tony out of the corner of her eye. So she switched on the television that seemed to need encouragement to get going. She hit it on the side a couple of times, and sure enough, the picture cleared right up. The two of them listened intently as a news brief came across the air. Is a serial rapist plaguing our streets? Also, coming up, Pastor James Turner, the seventh pastor that has gone missing. Details up next. The news anchor proclaimed. Clara hit the knob to turn the TV off. So much for my stomach. What's going on? She asked Tony as he sat quietly sipping his coffee and biting into a donut. Where are all these pastors going? Hell, if they don't pray, he joked. Clara smiled and raised both her hands in agreement. Tony shook his head at her eagerness to agree with his analysis of the church. He quickly added, I don't know, girl, but I sure hope my church, you know, the one I was telling you about, doesn't go anywhere. Claire rolled her eyes. Really? Here you go again with the church thing. Give it a rest. What do you really know about this church? Really? Here you go again with the church thing. Give it a rest. What do you really know about this church? About this preacher? Did you do your homework? Clara asked. Oh, I did my homework, girl. And at least I go to church. Oh, really? And you say that to say what? Clara exclaimed. Tony put one hand on his chest and the other hand up as a sign of surrender. Thank you so much for following my podcast. I am an author, and you can find my books, The Fiction Thriller On Earth as It Is in Hell, and also The Sounds of Silence Are the Loudest, at my website at www.cortinajackson.com. That's www.cortinajackson.com. Also, follow me on all my social media. I do have a YouTube channel. You can follow me there by typing in Cortina Jackson. And you can go to Facebook at On Earth as It Is in Hell. Also, Instagram at Miss Tina underscore the writer. That's M-I-S-S Tina underscore the writer. I'm on Twitter at Tina the writer, LinkedIn at Cortina Jackson. And I would just appreciate your support. Please follow me, and I look forward to more podcasts and you listening to me on Sirius XM Radio Thursday nights from 6 to 8 o'clock Central Standard Time. It is called Live Your Best Life with host Shay Owens and also my wonderful co-host Mario Choice. Thank you so much for listening, and I look forward to connecting with you soon. Have a beautiful day.